This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Happy Halloween, Dave.
Bran, I thought I'd never see you again.
My God. Hey, Dave, listen, it's nothing personal, man. It's just been a hectic month. But we're heading back. We're heading back into the season of giving and thanks and Christmas, and it'll slow down. And we'll be back. We're back right now. This is the comeback. The comeback tour. We did 5 strong episodes, and then you didn't hear from us. And we got a lot of emails. Dave, who did we get an email from?
Well, we have a guy that we're going to be bringing on. His name's Chuck Winsel, and he didn't just, I mean, when we say we've gotten mail, you know, everybody's thinking, you've got mail. They're thinking,
Starry Time AOL. Podcast.
We plug it every week, Brandon. That's what they're thinking.
I mean, we get the emails by the plenty, don't you worry.
But what we have here is an old fashioned, like a postal style, courier delivered letter directly to Brandon's house.
Yeah.
From one of our, well, actually, I guess based on the letter, he's not even necessarily a longtime fan, just a guy that found out about our podcast that he himself has kind of some issues going on at home and he wanted to discuss with us.
Yeah, we'll read the letter later, but essentially, we decided what better day, what better episode than the Halloween episode than to bring on a not only just a person, but a fan, well, you know,
it's quote, true. Unquote,
fan, that is actually encountering a ghost on the regular. Like, that. Right. If that doesn't scream Halloween, you know, scream Halloween, get it? Ah! Then I don't know what that does.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah, buddy.
It's been a long time since our last podcast, so there's an issue I need to resolve.
Okay.
The fans have spoken, and I myself have listened back, and you were right about the way that we should do the intro song. We need to start it from, it's the Starry Time, and then we'll play the full song. Right. And then we play the full at the end, because it's more exciting that way, and it really punches, and we're a group of guys that like to pull punches here. We get in there.
Dave, I appreciate you, your humility here.
It's not even just me, Brian. Like, not letters, not courier-delivered letters, but, you know, I've gotten textual messages that have the fans, they said, you were wrong, Dave. Bran was right in this time. And I can be humble. I can do that sometimes.
Well, I want to say this. I've worked with Dave for a long time now, 10 years now.
Mm.
And, there's not a lot of times that Dave will say, hey, you're right, Bran, about this creative endeavor.
Mostly because you are wrong in those cases.
No, and not necessarily.
I will secede when you are right.
Hold on. I will say, like, you know, there's been some musical things where, you know, we work together with music. We put out a Christmas CD every year, blah, blah, blah.
It's one of my favorite things that I do every year.
And I feel like on the regular, you know, we'll be up late recording and you'll be like, no, this is what we're doing. And I'll just Take a back seat. That's how I feel.
You're talking about like 3 or 4 albums ago. We haven't even been in the same city recording for the past two or three albums.
That's true. So, I mean, maybe you've changed. You're turning over a new leaf. You know,
Brent, I moved to a place where the leaves do change colors.
Isn't that awesome? Can we talk about that? So, Dave and I are from Florida.
Right.
And we don't really, like, fall, it just gets skipped over completely. And so it's awesome. I live in Greenville, South Carolina now, as you guys know, and Dave lives in New York. And one of my favorite parts about living anywhere other than Florida is the fact that I get seasons. Like, it's so good. Like, fall is one of my favorite seasons, and I never got to experience for, you know, however many
years. Yeah, the fullness of fall, as they say. Yeah.
It's so good. I've never experienced fall in New York City. If it's anything like it is here in Greenville and in the mountains, like the mountains are beautiful this time of year. So I don't know how it is in New York, but
I actually ventured a little bit north. Actually, this weekend I'm going to be going. I was supposed to go. I think I told you this. I was supposed to be going to Boston, but that trip got
put on all the Boston. Go ahead.
The Dropkick Murphys.
Or Flogging Molly. Which one is it?
It's Dropkick.
Cool.
The and I'm putting my foot down this time, Brian. It is Dropkick Murphys.
I will not give up on this one.
No, I will not.
See, you see, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Brent, let me just finish this.
Okay, go
this
ahead.
This is a story that I mentioned on the last podcast that I was going to go to Boston, but that trip got pushed. I was going to go for Halloween, but the friend that I was going to meet up there got a promotion at work and
could not.
Yeah, and so we're going to go later. So instead, I'm going to be going to Sleepy Hollow.
So
I'll report back what I find.
You're going
there.
To Sleepy Hollow, Massachusetts?
No, Sleepy Hollow, New York.
You're going to Sleepy Hollow, New York?
It's where the story is from about with the book by what's his face?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're going
the
to
guy
Sleepy...
that also wrote Ichabod Crane or whatever.
So you're going to Sleepy Hollow tomorrow? Then on Halloween?
On Halloween, I'm going. Yeah.
Wow.
Can you
do some voice memos for us? We'll play them next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll even try and interview some people.
Yeah, interviews, EVPs, whatever.
You know, I'll get what I can get. With
electronic
what I have.
Voice phenomenon.
My phone, Brand. This thing in my pocket can do so much. We'll see what it can do.
Yeah, here's the thing. I was listening to Art Bell not too long ago. They were talking about EVPs, and they said one of the best things you can do, turn your phone on airplane mode because you're not getting the frequencies, and then just use voice memo. It's amazing. It's one of the best EVP readers you can have is in your pocket now. It's wild.
Wow, that is actually pretty cool, and that's like the way I record my Christmas albums too. So,
if you could put a little bit more effort into this year's one, that'd be really good.
Well, Brian, we'll see what happens.
By the way, you owe me 3 songs in a few days. So,
I have another podcast, Brian. So, that being said, I was kind of going a little bit more in the northern side of Manhattan, Upper West Side, kind of Washington Heights.
Yeah.
And I just found this that even there, it's like it starts to get more like hilly and stuff like that. And the trees are just fantastic. Like on the opposite shore, I could see just going up. There was just all these colors, and the bridge kind of faded away into the trees.
Central Park changed nice, or?
Oh, it's brand. It's what you hope. It's right there. It's like a Skittle bag that has gone rotten. The colors
now,
of that.
I'm not going to pretend like we haven't been gone for I am sorry. I don't know if I said I'm sorry. So I'm sorry. It is on me, Dave. It is on me. It's not all on you or on you at all. So I'm sorry, and we're going to try to do better. We're committed to the Starry Time. I want you to know that. You know, we're still skeptics, and we're still trying to figure out what we believe.
And you can't stop a podcast with no turnaround. I mean, maybe the turnaround is that we affirm the skepticism, but we're still at the seeking, searching, soul excavating part of this podcast.
All of that is true.
Yep.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to kick it to the news, and then we'll come back. We'll read a letter. Again, we got a letter from a guy named Chuck Winslow, I believe is his name.
Yep.
We'll read that letter, and then we're actually going to have Chuck on tell us about his story, which I'm really excited about.
Sweet guy.
So here's the news with somebody here on the Starry Time podcast with Brandon Day.
And that's it.
Got a ghost? Break out the disinfectant. Intriguing new research from Clarkson University in New York points to a possible link between some aspects of haunting and the effects of poor air quality. In fact, the effects of malignant mold may have been what sparked the reports of paranormal activity in Salem that led to the witch trials in the 17th century. However, mold spores and bad air can't produce evidence like photos, videos, and the EVPs that Maryland ghost trackers reveal after investigating a Baltimore library. The Glen Burnie Library Resource for All, Even Ghosts states, the ghost hunters, after capturing quite a few EVPs from several different spirits, who seem eager to finally defy the universal library rule of staying quiet. Meanwhile, CTV News rounds up the usual suspects on the list of the top creepy Canadian haunts where tourists might encounter a ghost, just in time for Halloween. Boo. Can we come in? The Lore of the Black-Eyed Children. Ryan Sproug dives deep into the legend and mythology of the Black-Eyed Children phenomenon, an urban legend that's taken on a life of its own as it preys on nearly every aspect of our primal human fears. Kids can be very creepy. Trope, check. Big, spooky, alien-like eyes, check. Ominous feeling of doom, check. But the BEKs have had a bit of a competition in recent years for the likes of Slenderman, and even more recently, reports of encounters with Ghost and a Goat Man. an extremely disconcerting creature that is not only gaining a foothold among modern urban legends, but also has a background of encounters that stretch back at least 2 centuries. And by the way, if any of the above creatures appears at your door or car window, as BEKs are apparently fond of doing, and ask to come in, the answer should always be no. If it's anything other than no, then you probably should take a closer look at your life choices up to that point. This has been Steve with Storytime News.
All right, welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. Happy Halloween. Dave.
Yes, sir.
Can you believe that it's Halloween's?
Well, the one thing that I can believe is that the weather is fantastic. And that always is a sign that the pumpkins come out, and that's when I know it's time for Halloween. And also, that's when football starts. It's just when everything good happens.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting?
I feel it.
Halloween, isn't it interesting?
I mean, it's like many holidays, it's got multiple angles to enjoy it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of angles, one of the angles people use to enjoy Halloween is ghost. We hear a lot of ghost stories around Halloween time. And we actually received a letter. Who's the letter from, Dave?
Chuck Winsel.
Here's the interesting thing. We've never posted our mailing address.
Did he mail it to your house, Brandon?
Yeah, he mailed it to my house, which is creepy, and it's in its own right. But we're not gonna.
But you Periscope all the time. People can work out where you
that's
are.
That's true. He probably found. Yeah, it's. I'm not gonna ask him about that. But we got a letter, and I figured I would read it, and then we invited him on to kind of tell his story a little bit further. He says, "Dear Storytime, love your podcast. Wish you guys were a little bit more consistent, but that's okay. Just wanted to let you guys know about something that's going on in my house. I'm currently being followed by some sort of ghostly presence. He seems to be around all the time, especially at nighttime. I can't get away from him. What can I do? If you could bring someone on that would help, that'd be really great. Thanks so much. Have a great day."
So we have a man... and we have a ghost, and the man does not want the ghost.
That's right. That's exactly what's going on.
I've heard this story before.
So, too familiar tale. Yeah. So I figured, what better time than All Hallows Eve to bring on a man with his ghost? Please welcome Chuck Winsel.
Yes, hello.
Hey,
hello?
Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, fellas. How are you?
Good to hear your voice, doing Chuck. From your letter, we could tell you were a nice man, but now I can hear it in your voice.
Oh well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
Now, Chuck, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into the ghosts. Kind of, have you always been interested in the paranormal, UFOs? What really gets you going? And then we'll dive into your ghosts.
All right then. I'll start. Well, my name is Chuck Winsel. I've been living in Northern Ohio ever since 87. Actually, I moved into this an old house. It was built in the 1800s. They told me. I fixed it up. I've always been very good with carpentry, so I fixed it up, and it's been fine, you know. But
sure.
I started noticing some strange things, you know, going on in the house, and then lately. I've actually felt a presence, and you know, I've gone to seek help. You know, I even contacted a local psychic, you know, and I went to my local church, and nobody seems to want any part of it. So I'm kind of reaching out to, you know, the people on, you know, the internet, and I came across your podcast, and I really liked what you guys had to say, and I would like to get your input on the situation, rather.
Sure. Hmm. Tell us a little bit about your first interaction with the ghost. What was it like? Just kind of dive into that story a little bit, if you don't mind.
Well, it's funny because I have a workshop. I've turned my garage into a workshop, and I do a lot of carpentry. So I was actually working on this wardrobe that a large
like
colonial style wardrobe that used to keep, you know, coats and things in it.
Like,
you know,
the Narnia.
Yeah, yeah. Well, precisely. Yeah, just like those books. Yeah, Narnia. Well, an older lady I knew, she let me, she told me she'd like it, you know, polished up and, you know, sanded down a little bit. It's an older piece. And so I love doing that sort of thing. So I went to work on it and, it was late at night and I was, sanding away at this wardrobe. And, I walked away for a brief moment. And when I came back, the doors of the wardrobe were wide open. And I could feel it was like a cold breeze. And fellas, I had my garage shut and everything. Sure. I don't have any fans in there, nothing. And I felt a cool breeze. I swear it was like something I'd never felt before. You know, it rushed over me as I came close to it, and I had to leave the room because I got so cold. And okay. I really thought I might have been having some sort of health issue, but I don't know.
So you felt a cold, the cold, was it immediately like, oh, that must be a ghost, or were you kind of perplexed? And if it's the latter, what led you to figuring out that it actually was a potential ghost?
Well, you know, I'm an older man, so I thought, you know, maybe I was just, you know, maybe I needed, you know, to drink something warm and drink some coffee, or, you know, I don't know, but it started to get colder and colder as I went towards the wardrobe. I walked away and I came back and the wardrobe, it was open, and as I got closer, the cold got colder. So I mean, it hurt to the point where I couldn't even get near the thing. Because it was so cold. It was like, you know, Arctic.
And it was only around the wardrobe?
Now here's the thing. At first, it was that first night when I first felt it. And then the next day, you know, I went out.
That's when I guess all hell broke loose, as you would say. You know, the whole house just chills down now. And I've seen a shadow, just one singular shadow. You know, when I come down the stairs, you know, even in the morning, in the middle of the day, you know, I'll look over, and by the stove there'll be a shadow. It looks like a man, you know, about six and a half feet tall. You know, a man's
tall
shadow.
Tall guy.
Yeah, I can't explain it, fellas. It's something.
And do you feel that this is a menacing presence, like it wants to hurt you, or is it just kind of there to? What leads you to believe that particular line of thinking?
Actually, I've got another thing that happened to me, and
I bet you do. You know,
I've got quite a few there, Brandon.
Can't wait to hear them.
Well, a little bit after, you know, I started seeing these shadows. You know, I had contacted, you know, local sources, you know, to help me with this, I guess, and they didn't want any part of it. I was
well,
walking
local sources.
You know, I like I said, a local psychic, you know, in my hometown, in or not in my home, but the town I lived in, and the local church. Anyway, I was coming down the stairs one morning, and I felt a cold hand on the scruff of my neck, almost like I was, you know, like a how you grab like a dog, like a puppy,
sure,
you know, behind the ears and lift it. And I swear to you, I was lifted off my feet like this thing had strength unlike anything else, and lifted me by the scruff of my neck. And I felt like I had been tossed completely. I was tossed down these stairs, and I'm very thankful I didn't receive much bodily injury, you know, just a few bumps and scrapes. But that was what told me, you know, that this presence was not a friendly one. It was there to, you know, to cause mischief, or, you know, to hurt me, you know. It was something.
Sure. And do you think that it wants something from you, like it wants you to leave the house?
I think that woman gave me that wardrobe, and it came out of that wardrobe, but now it's just in my house.
You think it came from the wardrobe?
Yeah. And you know, I even tried, you know, after this, you know, because that was when it happened, was when I got that wardrobe and the door open. And I even, you know, contacted this woman, and her whole, all of her contact information is just gone. She's just gone. I can't reach her. I have no idea.
Did you give her back the wardrobe, or do you still have the wardrobe?
Yes. Now that's what I mean. I gave her back this wardrobe, that a couple days later, after I finished the project and finished sanding it down, and I gave it back to her, and she was so ecstatic, she was so happy that I had fixed it for her, you know, and it seemed like a normal thing, you know. She's like, I put ads out, you know, in the local paper for, you know, like carpentry, because it's, you know, it's my hobby. I'm very accomplished,
right,
carpenter. And, you know, she picked up the ad and called me, and I came out with my truck and loaded up a wardrobe, brought it back, did the job for her and brought it back to her. And now I can't, you know, I can't.
So do you think, I don't know, and this might be out there, do you think that the woman was possibly a ghost? That was, I don't know. Like, it's weird that you can't find her, you know?
I wouldn't know, because I wouldn't, I don't believe she was a ghost as much as I would believe that maybe she was associated with some sort of witchcraft.
You think that she purposefully, this wasn't something that she gave you unknowingly, but
that's
she knew
I'm
that there
saying,
was a ghost.
Fellas. That's what I'm saying, fellas. I'm saying that this woman... that this woman here, that she brought this thing to me as some sort of, I don't even know. See, I don't know the woman from Adam. I don't know her.
Right.
That's a great point.
You know, I've been trying so hard to find an answer to this. I'm getting a little worked up, because honestly, you know, this thing has been, you know, I've had the doors shut in my face. I've, you know, thrown down the stairs. You know, at night, I feel, you know, that's the worst is, you know, I've actually taken to going over my neighbor's house and staying over there some nights when, you know, it starts to get really bad.
Does that work, or do you feel like the entity follows you?
Well, for the first couple nights, it worked. And then a couple nights back when I was staying over there, I was sleeping in the guest bedroom. And, you know, he's a good guy. He let me stay. He's an older guy. He's in his 90s. He fought in He fought in World War II, a little bit later in World War II. You know, he's an old soldier. You know, he doesn't believe in ghosts. You know what I'm saying? He's seen enough ghosts on the battlefield. I guess you could say.
Right.
I was in his guest room sleeping, and I woke up suddenly, and it was like someone was cutting me with a cold blade right across the chest. And I thought, my God, what am I having a heart attack right now? And, you know, I sat up and I pulled open my nightgown and there was nothing. There was nothing there, though. Nothing, you know, right in the spot where it was really cold and sharp. You know, there was nothing there. No mark or anything. But I do have a feeling that whatever entity, whatever that entity came out of that wardrobe that's been following me,
sneaking
responsible. Yep.
Now, here's one interesting, and again, it's difficult because you don't know where the wardrobe is, but lots of times, in just our research, we found that entities tend to... Cling to objects, and then if it feels like the object is... something's happening to the object, like you said, you're doing work on the wardrobe. Sometimes it can get off of the object because it's, you know, angry that you're messing with it or something like that. So if there was any way for you to get the object back, then there would be a chance for you to put the
Brent,
that's the problem.
The other guy doesn't exist. She's a witch.
Yeah.
Here's Brent. I don't want to. We're a team. We're a team.
I know that.
But let me offer another solution.
Sure,
because we're working off of what he's told us. And
well,
one of the
things
he's
mentioned, that's why he sent us that letter. He wants the
right
advice.
Chuck, I want to tell you, we often brainstorm on the podcast because we do this thing live. You know that.
Yeah.
So we're going to be throwing out ideas. Doesn't mean you have to take them, but just we're throwing them out there.
Right.
This ghost, Brent, like Brent said, it might cling to that specific wardrobe. Alternatively, maybe it has an affinity for wardrobes in general. So if you could get any wardrobe into your workshop and just see if you can finagle that thing into there, close the doors, and then pass it on to the next guy. I know that's rude. It's not something that you – maybe it's
bad
for business.
Oh, hey, here's another question.
Maybe it's something you don't like very much. Give it to that guy.
You know – oh, I don't know about that. I would feel very bad for doing something like that to somebody. That's
well, then
that's
drop it off. off a cliff. Who knows? I don't know. Brant, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you have a piece of furniture in your house now that is similar to, equal to a wardrobe?
Well, I mean, I've got, you know, quite a many, you know, a collection of, you
because
know,
one thing
antiques.
That pops in my head as I'm hearing you guys talk is, what if the entity went from one wardrobe to another piece of furniture that's in your house right now?
Oh, then he's like, that's like finding a needle in a haystack. He's a carpenter. He's
got right.
That's what I'm saying, fellas. And I've got some very, you know, expensive pieces, you know, laying around, you know, that could, you know, things that open that have drawers, everything, you know. But that's also, could this thing, you know, be able to squeeze into something small, not just, you know, not just like a large wardrobe, but, you know.
Yeah, who knows? It's like an octopus could get in there.
Yeah, I want to, first of all, just stop you there. Because the way that you're describing ghosts is just not realistic. Like, a ghost is not something that you simply can put in a box. It may cling to a box. Listen to what I'm saying. It might cling to a box or to an object, but it's not being put in it. It's not a solid, therefore it cannot be placed in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a fart in the wind.
If you will.
Right.
As we
well,
say.
Well, I mean, I've read a little bit ever since this started happening to me.
How long ago
never,
was it, by the way?
It's been about 6 months now. It's been about half a year.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where are you at in the process? Like, you know, a lot of people get, you know, a few months in and or even one night in, as we've seen in a few different cases. And they just call it quits on their house. They put it up for sale. They jet. Where are you at in that process?
Like you said, he doesn't want to pass it on to the next guy. So I'm sure he's trying to take care of this lady.
And then also the entity does seem to be following him. So there's that.
That's true. There is that.
So what? Where are you at right now? What's your thinking?
Well, to be quite honest, you know, I have, you know, had recent thoughts about, you know, that's why I sort of reached out to you. You fellas, you know, to really sort of get a concept, you know, a grip, I guess, on what I should do in my situation. I don't know if I should put my house up for sale, if I should maybe even contact an even higher authority, maybe reach out to some, some sort of paranormal expert. You know, I'm fine. I'd be more than happy to pay somebody to come out there to my house and do some sort of, I don't know what. See, that's the thing, fellas. I really don't know anything about this. I've read a lot of stuff, and, you know, there's so many different things. You know, they talk about seances, they talk about, I don't know, they bring, you know, like Bibles and, you know, crosses, and I burn, you know, incense and all sorts of, you know, things that I never have really.
Well, before you start spending too much money on this, what I would say is like Brant said, there's probably at least a certain, or there's a chance, I should say, there's a chance that there's an object in your house that it already has as a sort of a place that it's basing for. Maybe it comes out and you know, it harasses you, but there's probably a place that it tends to, like, you know, just congregate around. Like Brant said, it's not going to be in a drawer per se, but it may embody one of the pieces in your house. And what if you could track down what piece that is, then your best shot at getting it out is to wait for it to, while it's kind of in that object, and then to just get rid of it. I don't know. You don't have to pass it on to anybody, but maybe to
bury
that thing.
What if I burned it?
I don't. That is not a good idea, because, like, it can easily get off of that. Like, that's how easy it was for it to get into your house in the first place. It just gets off the object. If you're going to burn it, then it's not going to have a place to be anymore. It's just going to find something else. What you want is it to stay surrounding that object, and then you separate from that object.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you need to bury it, put it somewhere where the ghost will stay around the object, and then you will be able to kind of free yourself.
But again, Dave, I don't want to keep talking in circles here. But remember, he says that he's left for multiple nights at a time, and the ghost follows him. Which, again, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe it's not attached to an object, because if it was attached to an object, it wouldn't just leave when Chuck's gone, you know?
That's
my
true.
Place of work. He's come to my work.
Yeah,
to
so, I mean, that's interesting.
Well, then the thing is, you need
attached.
to, So it sounds like it's not objects, maybe, that it is actually people that get. Unless it's got two different, which is a really complicated situation. If it's got the you know, wardrobes and people, and it kind of just goes between the two, in which case your other alternate would be to me and Brian have seen it all. We've talked to many different experts coming from different scientific and spiritual, you know, perspectives on this. And
listen, I mean, we're skeptics. That's what we are.
And we are skeptics, but that's why I said we've gone through both.
I know, I'm right there with you, fellas. I'm a skeptic too, and up until 6 months ago, I'd been a skeptic my whole life for this sort of thing, and this is everything, you know.
What you need in a situation like this is a skeptic, because you don't want to just have somebody that assumes anything. Right now, the best thing to do is to be asking questions. And that's why you've done the right thing by doing that, by reaching out to a group of people that have experienced maybe just a little bit more than you. We've only had this podcast for how long, Brian?
2 months now, 3 months.
And you know, I think that one of the issues in your trying to get rid of it is that it may feel that it's being, you know, provoked or attacked. So that's why you've got to be very tactful in our approach.
Yeah,
to try and somehow almost give it a better alternative, you know, send it off somewhere. And that's why I don't know about Bran, but even in my skepticism, I would say that when you're going for the exorcisms, that those are going to be violent. There's no way to do that in a good way. The better things to do is this. The thing that from a skeptic's perspective. Let's say that all this is real. The best thing I've found is that when there's a ghost, they usually have something that they still. And if you can figure out what that thing is, then you can solve the ghost problem. You work with the ghost, and that's how you get rid of it in a friendly way. Then you don't have to worry about the backlash. You have to worry about, you know, getting violent. You don't sound like a guy that wants to get violent.
Oh,
unless
no.
you have like
oh, not at
unless
all.
You have a
no.
jig trying to go down on some wood. But yeah, aside from that.
Oh, that was good.
I never get my workshop against all the wood.
Right, and so maybe there's something it needs you to build. Maybe it needs you to build a specific thing. Maybe it does have something it wants you to build it a new wardrobe, and it's harassing you to get you to build the new wardrobe.
Chuck, work with us here. Just try to think through, has there been any messages that it's given you, like anything that we could get to try to figure out what this entity wants from you?
Oh, well, actually, you know, now that you mention it, messages, well, I mean, I don't know if this has anything to do with that. You know, I have another hobby I do, you know, besides carpentry. I actually raise a couple show ponies for the local fair. And,
wow, you are a busy guy.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you what, Phil. You know, that's what I'm. I don't know why this sort of thing's happening.
Hey,
yeah,
Chuck,
do anything.
Chuck, can I be honest with you now? This story is beginning to sound like you're making it up.
Oh, is it? Well, I mean, it's just my life,
right.
Fellas. You know.
I'm sorry. I'm just telling you how it is. I call it's a skeptic in me. Just keep going. You have show ponies, apparently. Okay.
What? No.
Don't Chuck. Brian is. He but doesn't like horses or anything.
My family. I was always around horses and ponies. You know, and grew up in a farm. You know,
sure.
And moved out here to Ohio.
You're a very talented guy.
Six. I'm just. You know, I guess they say a jack of all trades. Like I work at a garage. You know, I do maintenance on cars and everything.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's always been good with my hands and you know good on the, you know, on the farm with animals and I just raise a couple. You know. They're small. They're like small ponies, you know, miniature ponies, and they just for the kids to ride. But you know, I groom them. They're very nice show quality ponies. But they, I've been in the backyard in some evenings, and ever since this thing happened, and they seem to go in a pattern, and they all walk in like a pattern that's different than I've seen them go, you know, before. That's happened, and you know, I know my way, you know, around animals and you know, horses and you know, ponies.
So, what do you mean? I'm not gonna give them that what do you mean when you say that they've been, the way that they've been walking is different? How are they walking before? How are they walking now?
They walk in like a lot, in like a line, like
straight
they,
line.
Well, they move in a certain pattern, in a line, in a certain pattern out.
Like synchronized? Horses together?
You know, they're in a pen and
uh-huh.
move. I don't know. I maybe it's nothing. You know, maybe,
do they
it sure sounds like nothing.
I mean, let me
ask you this.
Listen, fellas, these things usually stand all apart and do their, you know, they do their own thing. And ever since this thing started to happen, in the evening and everything, and they sort of just like clung, like gotten close right. together, like they.
And
were
you think that, so you think this is a message? Yeah, do they spell out any letters?
Oh no, nothing
crop
like
circles?
That. No.
So let's say hypothetically speaking, your show horses were once separate, and now they're walking together. What the heck kind of message do you think that is for a ghost? What is it trying to? What do you think? What do you take it as?
I think it's
a mess.
Because if it's communicating to you, it's going to speak to you in your terms. We would probably not even get anything out of that.
Like I said, you know, it may just be nothing. But you know, I've had these things for a while now, and I've just ever since that happened, you know, maybe it's just that you know they sense some sort of presence. I read that you know animals can be affected by. That's why you know why I brought it up. You know, they say that animals can you know be affected. You know, by this sort of thing.
So right. Let me ask you this. Are you married by any chance?
No, I'm not. I'm a bachelor.
Have you ever been married?
No, never, actually.
I wonder if, again, I don't know. You can take it for what it's worth. I just wonder if maybe the show ponies that were once separated.
No, Brian, no.
Listen. The show ponies that were once separated and have now come together is the ghost entity's way of saying that he wants you to be in a relationship. I don't know. Listen.
Why would he be okay?
I don't know.
Brian, listen. That's probably the worst thing you could have gotten out of that.
Dave, what do you got?
I mean, if that is true, then I mean that'd be something.
Brian,
but
he's a guy that's got a lot of hobbies. You think he's got time for ladies? Okay, you want me to tell you what I think it is? Okay,
I
so you got
that.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean. They sort of all stick together and go in, you know, circles and zigzag, you know, but they're all together the whole time.
What about
you know?
Are you good with hooves?
Hmm?
Are you good with hooves? Are you good with hooves? Like the hooves that go on there? Yeah, like when you put do you put fancy hooves on the show pony feet?
I mean, you mean the sheep? Who did I put? I actually, you know, the pony, they don't have shoes. You don't put shoes on. They're not, you know, the shoes.
Oh, you do?
Their hooves are harder. They don't really require, you know, shoes. So I never really
got okay. Them. Right. Well, if you could dip their feet into some colorful paint and then just let them go out there, see if there's anything, you know.
I don't think they were writing out anything in the ground or anything, if that's what you're saying. I just think that, I don't know, that they were walking in unison.
All right. Listen,
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. You know, you're right. It does sound crazy.
Listen, this was a bad idea to talk about the messages, okay? So let's go back to what's hitting home right now, which is this ghost is literally beginning to hit your home. So what has happened in the last couple days as far as escalation, and where do you fear that it might go, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm just afraid one morning I'm going to walk down the stairs and it's just going to push me harder than normal and I'm just going to bust my head and you know, and that'll be it.
You think this entity's trying to kill you?
I mean, it's pushed me down the stairs and, you know, had hot things fall from the stove and hit me, and, you know, and come that cold feeling on my chest. It felt like someone was taking a bitter cold knife and clutching it, you know, and cutting it right across my chest. And
The thing is that I think at this point, like you said, you were surprisingly not hurt from the stairs. I would think that if it was going to do something to you, it would have done it by now, unless it's just playing.
It hurt.
It did hurt.
I was bruised up. You should have seen me. Oh my, I was so bruised.
I can only imagine it.
Do you have a picture by any chance?
No, I actually don't, but I mean, I'm still sort of bruised up from it, you know, if this, but I mean, I could send in photos, you know, I mean, if you fellas have some sort of, you know, website or anything, you know, yeah. you post.
Are you good, Chuck? Are you good with technology?
Not entirely, no. And you know, quite honestly, to get this Skype to work, I had to get my neighbor to help me with it.
World War II vet.
He's good with Skype.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, that fella actually knows more about computers than I do.
I'll figure.
My grandpa. But what I was getting at is there are items you could purchase for probably less than the cost of hiring someone, to cheap things you can get on the internet that are just ways that if we were to try and pick up what it's communicating, just ways that you can pick up some of the more interesting sounds, as well as just different. There's frequencies that you might be missing. And that's what I'm getting at. That, and I know that maybe your old war vet friend has experience with some of these things that he used.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know much about any of that.
Maybe you could ask him. You guys, and you know what? I would actually ask his opinion too, because you're at a point in this thing where you're gonna have to come up with just a scenario where you win and the ghost wins too. Because like I said, I don't think that this is gonna be something that you're gonna be able to burn or get out through any violent means. You need to work with the ghost.
Yeah.
Find out what it wants.
My neighbor doesn't really, you know, really pay any mind to this. He sort of thinks it's all just, you know, nonsense. Yeah. I sort of think it's all nonsense, fella. I mean,
let me tell you this, or let me ask you, I should say. Has he had any experience with the ghost? Why have you tried inviting him over for a night just to see if he experiences the same thing you experienced? Because at this point, all you've had is your own eyewitness account of this. But if you could get somebody else on your side, that might help you to establish more points of view.
Well, like I said, he sort of, you know, shrugged, you know, doesn't really pay any mind to it. He thinks it's all a load of crock, you know, to be quite honest. And mm-hmm.
You could, you know, invite him over for some poker and then see if the ghost comes out to...
I don't know if he plays poker, but yeah, I guess, you know, I guess you're right, you know, invite him over, you know, and just see if maybe it'll happen when he's here and maybe he'll bear witness to it or something, you know.
That'd help, and then he could get him on here too, and it would help to get another person that's actually seen the ghost or something. I don't know.
So Chuck, here's kind of where we're at right now. This is kind of what we want you to do.
Speak for yourself, Brand.
Well, this is, you know, I'm speaking for both of us.
Okay.
Here's what we want you to do, and then hopefully you can come back sometime. We want you to figure out how to get some evidence, whether that's getting an audio recorder, setting it up at night, getting a camera that you can shoot through your house, to figure out how to catch some evidence. And when you get some evidence, please send it to us. And then also get, whether if it's your neighbor or a family member, and invite them, hey, this is what I think's going on. Could you come over and just kind of verify it? Like maybe spend a couple nights with me?
Or if they're too stubborn, like we talked about, you can invite them over for any other reason, but just kind of try and open the door.
Chain the door closed and then make them stay. However you want to do it, like it's always better to have someone to be able to verify it outside of you, because what happens, like there's a lot of things that could happen that, you know, carbon monoxide could be one of the things that's actually making you do this. If there's some sort of weird leak going on in your house, that could actually make you sense this stuff, push you downstairs.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Did you listen to This American Life this week?
I know my house pretty well.
I did listen to This American Life this week. That's
that is curious. Just curious. Okay.
Speaking of This American Life, is there a better podcast than This
there
American Life?
There is no better podcast. It is the best podcast.
All right. Hey, okay. Chuck, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Go listen to This American Life. It'll actually help you. Get some evidence. Find a friend. come back. We'd love to talk to you, hear where you're going in the next couple of months. Sound good, buddy?
Yeah. All right, fellas. You know, I appreciate you, you know, taking my call and taking time out of your day to answer, you know, my questions and give your feedback. Really appreciate it.
We appreciate your candor and your honesty and willingness to, you know, tell us what the situation is. And I think if you continue to have that attitude towards the situation, you're going to get it resolved. And we just want to be we're on your team with this. We're on your team. We want to see you succeed in getting this ghost out of your house. But stand strong, man. Don't get rid of the house. If that was one of your questions, don't do that. That is just submitting to the ghost. It's not going to solve anything. It's going to follow you wherever you go. Stay with the house. You need to figure out how to get him out of the house.
All right. You know, I'll take your advice on that then. I'll keep you updated. I'll send an email out and let you know.
Wait, so you do email?
Well, I mean, every now and again, but,
stop writing me letters.
Yeah, that's the thing. We got enough with the letters. That's not a good way for us.
I'm just an old-fashioned guy, fellas. That's all it is. You know, I'm just an old-fashioned guy. But, yeah, you're right. I will. I'll start to, you know, do some research and, you know, try to, you know,
StoryTimePodcast@gmail.com. That's what you need to do. Hey, Chuck, have a great Halloween, buddy. I hope it's not too spooky for you, okay?
Oh, you too, fellas. Yeah. Get some treats. No tricks, huh?
I understand. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
And that was Chuck Wenzel, a listener. He's not some sort of, you know, ghost hunter or something like that. He just says somebody who has a ghost in his house. That was a really interesting talk.
A nice guy, though.
Nice guy, interesting guy. I don't know, man. I still don't know.
Here's the thing you have to remember.
I don't want to be a jerk. I don't know if he's like serious. Like this is, and maybe it's just like a control thing because like all the other guests are people that I've sought out and you know I've seen their credentials and stuff like that. Like this guy's just some guy who wrote us a letter that somehow found my address. So I don't know. Like it's
whatever it is, he's concocted a story worth telling. Whether it's he did it or whether it's natural.
I mean, I guess I don't really care if he's being honest or not because it was an interesting story, but I guess we'll see. I guess time will tell because we asked him to, you know,
we did give him some stuff. Yeah, we did
homework. So,
and here's my deal with the ghost thing. This is something I brought up in the conversation with Chuck. When we have these cases where you have a ghost that's pestering someone. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of resolve or any reason behind it. Just the fact that it's doing this, I don't get it, I guess. Especially when they also seem to have, like, whenever they have a story that has something to do with the fact that it's kind of, like, prolonging its life year or whatever. I don't know. But in Chuck's case is a perfect example of this, where it's like, hurting him, I guess. Not really, like, killing him or actually in danger. I don't know. It's just a really confusing thing. When it could be doing that, like, it's capable of pushing him downstairs. It seems like anytime it wanted, it could just push him all the way downstairs, you know? So what is like, happening there with a ghost that's just kind of, like, fiddling, fondling people and just kind of... I don't understand it. What the motivation is there.
Yeah, I think I want to say sometime in November we have a guy who is like one of the I don't remember exactly where he's from, but he deals with ghosts, and so we'll be able to ask him these type of questions, like in a different type of hauntings and a different type of ghost interactions, like why, if his story is true. Why would this ghost not just kill him? Like, what's the deal? Like, is the ghost
having
fun, or what's the deal?
Right. Well, that's my thing. When you have a ghost, the cases of ghosts, there's no, like, commonality between the people that are the ghosts. You don't have, like, one type of person that ends up being a ghost. You get old women, young children, men, boys, everything across the spectrum. And yet, it seems like all of them, the one thing they want to do is to prank people. Why would you stay here on Earth just to pull some jokes for the rest of eternity? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But so if I could get an explanation for that, then that would be great for me as far as in me in the direction of belief. Because for me, it seems more like you mentioned at the end there. It sounds more like carbon dioxide poisoning.
Yeah. It could be a number of things. So we'll be sure to, you know, figure that out in the coming
weeks.
You
know what it could be is the name of our first interviewer?
Preston Bennett.
That could have been just him out on one of his things. Yeah. Remember how he said he likes to go prank people? So maybe that is just the draw there is to go out and prank. Anyway, okay. So, Brent, one thing I was also going to say is you want to know one of the reasons I think we're such good friends?
I can think of a few reasons, but I'd like to hear yours.
Okay. When I found out the way that you were going to be doing the podcast this time around, where you're using a lot of technology to remotely do it, I think that one thing that we both share is like a desire to like, or not a desire, but we get a great deal of pleasure out of multitasking in a fancy way and cutting. It's just the way that, like, even with the albums, if we can come up with a way that we did it in a way that we're just like, wow, we really showed it that time.
So I guess I should explain exactly what we're doing to kind of give some backstory behind why you just said that. So here's what I'm doing. I'm currently on my way back from Charlotte. It's about a 2-hour drive. But we wanted to do this interview with Chuck. And so here's what we did. I set my studio is currently set up, and I'm accessing that and the recording and Skype through an app called TeamViewer on my phone. And so what I did was I Skyped in from my phone to the studio computer. So that's linked up, and so I can record Skype that way through the studio computer.
Right.
And then called Dave and Chuck in. And so then I can access remotely the computer, press record, and it's recording all this audio. So I guess, you know, it's like...
Never cease. You always come up with these things, Brian. It's good.
I could have just asked you to do it, I guess.
I know. That's what I was thinking you were going to do. And then when you just said you had it, I was like, well, did he just bring it in his car? And then when you told me the real thing, I was like, that a boy, Brian.
Yeah, we're special people. Hey, yeah. Dave, before we go, we spent a few Halloweens together.
We have.
And I do want to know, what is your favorite, I guess it doesn't have to include me, but what's your favorite Halloween memory? There's a lot of them.
Oh, boy. I mean, is there anything that could get that much better than the hot dogs?
It's so creepy.
But it's good.
Like, whenever I tell someone, so there was a guy that lived almost directly behind me in the neighborhood adjacent.
Right. Yeah,
that would hand out hot dogs and sausages.
And hamburgers, maybe? No, it was just hot dogs. It was just hot dogs, yeah.
So he would hand them out, and they were great. But, like, whenever I tell someone this, they're immediately they're worried, like, that there was some sort of, like, drugs in it or something like that. But they were fine.
Okay, but here's the thing. I hear that's, like, always, like, the big thing that goes around the internet this time. It's, like, careful what your kids are getting. If you get candy that looks like this, it's really, like... It's laced with some kind of like.
Yeah, don't get candy that's not in wrappers. Don't take an apple.
Here's what I'm thinking.
Blah, blah, blah.
To a certain extent, like when they say there's something like ecstasy in there, I just don't think that it's worth it to the person giving it because you know how expensive that stuff is? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't. I guess there are some pretty sick people out there, but this is a line of thinking. It's not. I don't think it's as common as people try and paint it out to be.
Yeah.
Anyway. That being said, other favorite Halloween memories would be. Last year actually was a fantastic Halloween for me because when I was living in Lakeland, there is a church nearby that had they pride themselves in their ability to throw a fall festival, and in particular their ability to put on a good the hay rides, the like kind of like a haunted hay ride or whatever you want to call it. And they do go all out, man. Like, okay, so we had a group of us guys that kind of played different roles. We had, like, Bigfoots, a scarecrow, and I was an alien. And we actually built a miniature – I mean, it was pretty big, but it was kind of supposed to be scaled of a UFO. And we put a fog machine and put it in the woods, and then it made it look like it was kind of a crashed UFO. And then these kids came around the hay bale, and we kind of just walked out from the smoke like we had just crashed. It was so good looking. It was amazing. And then before that, they're on like this kind of long trailway. And then this is the amazing thing. The pastor of that church recorded an entire like monologue that had all the sound effects included of us doing stuff that they put on a little speaker in the hayride. So that way like everything's really clear. and he pretends like he's kind of just like this, the guy that's, or not, what would you call it? He's kind of like just talking about like a tour, giving a tour. Like, oh, this over here is this, and there's that. And then all of a sudden he'll be like, wait, well, what's that? Oh, is that? Oh my gosh, everybody get inside. And like, they're this whole thing. And so then the kids get in there, and then they just have this amazing experience going through. But it was really fun putting that on, and I really enjoyed it.
Sounds great.
What about you, Brian?
Yeah, so I used to, surprisingly enough, do another podcast growing up. And it was
with Call.
Yeah,
WTFRO.
Well, WFRO. And yeah. We would do a Halloween episode almost every year. And one year we did it was like a 15-minute challenge where we were on the phone and we had to go out and see who could get the most candy in 15 minutes. And it was just like, and like we were grown people, like should not be trick or treating, but we did it
absolutely,
anyways.
Yeah.
And it was just so much fun, like really fast, and I, you know, it was just a good time. So I think that was probably
who won
up there.
You or Paul?
I don't remember. I mean, the audio's somewhere. I guess I could pull it up somewhere.
Yeah. Brad, if there's one thing about you, it's you're always ahead of the game. You were doing podcasts long before they were popular.
That's true. Thanks.
To your own detriment.
Yeah, exactly.
Two
hey,
or three
Dave.
Listeners.
Dave, thanks. Can I say this? Thanks for hanging out with me.
Brent, always, always a pleasure.
In the midst of a busy season of Halloween, you know, the Halloween season,
right.
We have remained friends in the midst of the busyness of not being able to do a podcast. I appreciate that you were willing to just join me on my car ride home and interview Chuck, and it was just like good old times.
It was Brandon. It was my pleasure.
Hey,
and,
Can I do a quick plug, real quick?
Plug it.
Yeah. So, November 1st to January 1st, I have an online Christmas radio station. Do you think people think that I'm like constantly doing random projects on the internet?
I mean, would they be wrong if they did?
No, they wouldn't. So I have a online Christmas radio station. It's ChristmasRadioLive.com. We launched midnight November 1st. So if you are one of those people that likes to get in the Christmas spirit early, you can tune in then or anytime during the Christmas season. Continuous commercial-free music, ChristmasRadioLive.com. We have our own app, which is the Christmas Radio Live app on the iPhone, iPad, blah, 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 or the Android and Google Play. You can get it in there. So whatever you have, you can get the Christmas Radio Live app, take it on the road with you, or just listen to the TuneIn app. However you want to do it, ChristmasRadioLive.com, November 1st, midnight, launch day, bring it.
Absolutely.
Glad I got all that out there.
You did it. You did it good, Brian.
Do you have a launch? Do you have a plug?
No, Brian, I don't, because I don't quite – this is about it as far as my online – random projects go.
We do want to plug, though,
the winter failure.
We'll do that soon. We do want to plug a podcast friend of ours that you were on not too long ago. I think we've plugged it before, but want to plug it again. It officially has more episodes than us. What is that?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I plugged it last time, but our friend Nathan, who did the news, I think maybe
episode
week three
two,
or four.
Or, yeah, two or three.
Two or three. I think it was three. He has a podcast now called To Eat Perchance to Dream, and it's actually a really amazing – I love the podcast. What he does is he interviews an expert in the field of dreaming or in the field of, like, health, food.
Or consciousness and something like that.
Yeah, just different stuff. And then he follows it up by testing a different food that he'll, like, has read on the internet causes a certain kind of dream or something. Then him and a friend will eat it and then discuss their dreams and see if it does affect them.
Yeah. It's interesting. There is kind of a crossover because we find that in the paranormal realm, like a lot happens in the consciousness.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
In fact,
on there.
He interviewed Preston Dennett.
That's right.
Looking forward to that episode.
Yeah, it's coming out soon. So go look that up. Leave him a review. Leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us. I think that's it. Hey, Dave, thanks for hanging out with me, buddy.
All right, bud. See you later.
From Greenville, South Carolina.
From New York City.
This was Start Time Podcast.
Yeah.